welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. God said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Vain Jangling. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3, and reading to verse 11. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Verse 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling. Verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. Verse 8. But we know that the law is good, if a man uses it lawfully. Verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Verse 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. The phrase vain jangling in Strong's is number 3150. It comes from another word meaning random talk, that is babble or vain jangling. In the Message Bible, 1 Timothy 1, 5-7 says, the whole point of what we're urging is simply love. Love uncontaminated by self-interests and counterfeit faith. A life open to God. Those who fail to keep to this point soon wander off into dead ends of gossip. They set themselves up as experts on religious issues, but haven't the remotest idea of what they're holding forth with such imposing eloquence. If you cannot rejoice always, your faith has become materialistic, earthly, and hypocritical. Shallow teachings do not edify those keeping His commands under pressure. You may have a natural education and sound very eloquent, but without the right foundation, you will mislead others and become a reprobate yourself. Ephesus, a developing port, was competing with well-established trade routes in the area. The church serving in this situation was already losing their first love because they did not have a deep enough foundation. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is the book of Philippians chapter 3 and reading verse 3. For we are the circumcision which, worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The phrase which worship in Strong's is number 3000. It comes from another word meaning a hired menial, to minister to God, that is to render religious homage, to serve, to do service, a worshipper. Those born again that do what they want, when they want, in their personal lives, have rejected Christ in their hearts. True Christians do not stop serving God when their personal circumstances change. The early converts were told to rejoice with pressure coming from the religious Jews, but on the other side, resistance from those seeking an easier option for the flesh, but did not want to repent deeply. James 1 and verse 2. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. God knows what you need to do now to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. So don't be lazy and just humble yourself. Instead, try doing more with less effort, or even try multitasking in the Spirit. Philippians 2:12. Paul was busy getting answers for the sake of the elect on the narrow way that he passed on to those with a heart after God in similar trials and difficulties. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Some pressure is needed to grow spiritually. How do you know that you will not deny him as the pressure of following Christ increases in the last days? At the cross, all the disciples scattered said they would not deny the Christ when Jesus was crucified. Mark 14, 29 to 31. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In the Message Bible, Matthew 7, 21 to 23 says, knowing the correct password, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now, at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preach the message. We bash the demons. Our super spiritual projects had everyone talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Those that try to enter the kingdom of heaven some other way apart from making Jesus Lord through obedience of the Spirit will be left outside. John 10 and verse 9. The world is on an obviously evil road, ignoring their consciences to do what they want when they want. On the broad road that leads to destruction, you can learn how to hear God in ministry or in one or two areas without any pressure. However, Jesus is the good shepherd, John 10 and verse 14, that you can trust with all your heart so that he knows you in terms of your ability to obey under some pressure, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Start following Christ today, or he will say, I never knew you at the end. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with a living God, where you have also to repent of dead religious works done in the name of Jesus, not just bad works. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm reading verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Verse 19, holding forth, and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Prophecies were going unfulfilled in Timothy because he was unwilling to fight the fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Those using their own minds to come to the truth shipwreck their faith because the devil uses ways that seem right. Proverbs 14:12. When you crash, repent deeply, learn from the past, and seek a clear conscience before moving on. Paul obtained a clear conscience by going to the synagogues and proving from the scriptures that Christ is the Messiah. Acts 9 and verse 20. He was forced to acknowledge God in great details because of the persecution that followed. He got grace to hear, trust, and obey under pressure because he remained meek and humble. Paul went from the chief of sinners, resisting conviction as a Pharisee, to inheriting the gospel through deep repentance in a short time. Fight the good fight of faith today by asking God in more areas with the gift of eternal life, and you will not be disappointed. Jesus taught in Luke 9, 23 and 24. This is Luke's gospel, chapter 9. I'm reading verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Those denying themselves and taking up their cross daily will be given the wisdom they need. Those born again using natural wisdom in this world are asleep spiritually. Financial pressure in Ephesus was causing those living in the darkness to wake up. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. The blind leaders of comfortable churches believe that taking up your cross daily is unnecessary and monthly or weekly is enough. You will get an abundance of godly wisdom, broken, helpless, crying out to him when you admit you do not know what to do following Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Academic qualifications are not a substitute for taking up your cross daily. Those born again do not need a natural education to learn and grow up spiritually. If you are not on the narrow way, you are choosing ignorance. God's ways appear foolish to the earthly, especially if it involves some suffering or consistently denying yourself or taking up your cross daily. In the Message Bible, 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 and 4 says this, on my way to the province of Macedonia, I advise you to stay in Ephesus. Well, I haven't changed my mind. Stay right there on top of things so that the teaching stays on track. Apparently, some people have been introducing fantasy stories and fanciful family trees that digress into silliness instead of pulling the people back into the center, deepening faith and obedience. Timothy was told to stay in Ephesus because the church is being filled with vain stories based on a Jewish background and not on Christ. Those desiring to be teachers of the law were steering the church away from salvation in Christ with eternal glory. Check that the cross is still before you and the world behind you. If not, then humble yourself and ask God why. Do not blame anyone else for why you keep listening to soft messages that your flesh likes to hear. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. The word reprobates in Strong's is number 96. It comes from two other words, which together mean unapproved. That is rejected, by implication worthless, literally or morally. A castaway, rejected, a reprobate. The Corinthians were doing dead religious works. If Christ is formed in you, then you do not need man's resources to function. Instead, you live by every word of instruction that comes from the mouth of the Father. Matthew 4 and verse 4. With the world passing away now, this is the greatest time to be alive, because grace also increases as sin abounds for the humble. The church holding on to methods or anything else in this world is in danger of being rejected or becoming a reprobate, a disappearing. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Verse 2, ye are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Verse 4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Do not resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Repent and you'll grow spiritually. Let go of whatever is making your flesh comfortable. You will have to rely on his rightly revealed word by the Spirit and obey perfectly with the right motive and attitude to become an able minister of the new covenant. Do not rely on just the written word alone under pressure, as this brings death. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Timothy 1 verses 5 and 6 says, whereas the object and purpose of our instruction and charge is love, which springs from a pure heart and a good, clear conscience and sincere, unfeigned faith. But certain individuals have missed the mark on this very matter and have wandered away into vain arguments and discussions and purposeless talk. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. You should be pressing towards the mark, which is Christ, who never sinned. It is easy to hit the mark if you're closer to him. Through the law, the Jews had the ministry of reconciliation for the whole world. However, they had to repent deeply and get really close through repentance. Solomon told his son to bind mercy and truth around his neck for the best outcome. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Teachers of the law in Ephesus had exalted themselves and the written word by using their own minds to teach things that were producing rare or random amounts of conviction. Three things were important to Paul. Number one, pure hearts in complicated situations, surrounded by others behaving badly. James 4 and verse 8. Number two, a clear conscience by telling others how God provided a way of escape by grace through faith, even when they were thinking completely selfish and self-seeking. Number three, faith being purified through pressure and repentance. where it was hypocritical, lacking, misdirected, or insincere. Jesus endured and overcame the cross by submitting himself to God and asking God what to do in all areas. Do not deceive yourself, as knowledge of the Bible and keys to ministry alone will puff you up in your minds. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. You also need godly wisdom to balance knowledge. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5 says, and my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, a proof by the Spirit and power of God operating on me and stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotions and thus persuading them, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, human philosophy, but in the power of God. Leaders are often afraid to preach the Lordship of Jesus Christ, as they know some will leave when they hear this message. Paul's messages were not confirmed at the end by doing powerful miracles. Instead, they were confirmed by the fact that all his hearers came under conviction in areas where they were still selfish and carnally minded. Paul purposed to share with the Corinthians how he got to know Christ personally, under the pressure, and how he had to ask more questions. If you are taking up your cross daily, it's proof you are submitted to God and you have no confidence in the flesh. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 to 17. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Verse 11. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Verse 13, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. Verse 15, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. You will not become a beloved son by avoiding pressure that has the potential to make you cry like a spiritual baby. Paul was not teaching methods, but how anyone could abide in Christ consistently with the gift of eternal life, submitting to God's plan for your life under the greatest amount of pressure will give you all the authority you need to function in the kingdom of heaven now. God sees things in fullness and cannot use you for an important work if you are still looking after your own interests. He knows you will lean to your own understanding eventually for the sake of your flesh. You are not under law, but under grace to learn in what way you are sinning against God in your own life, in thought, purpose, or action. Romans 6, verses 14 to 15. You should be coming to repentance, or otherwise you'll be left behind at his appearing. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. This is 1 Corinthians 13. I'm reading verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, and become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If you want to develop your love relationship, I can recommend the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. Develop God's pure love to a higher level, or you'll only become known in heaven and on earth as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. There are different levels of love. Groups that only have the ability to love those that love them are using limited resources. Get connected to a regular supply of love by letting God love those he has ordained you to love. It is easy, as you will reap love from God and have an abundance yourself. Paul had enough love for his own people, serving a dead religion, and persecuted him for preaching the cross. The ability to love your enemies is a milestone of spiritual growth. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, verses 12 to 14. This is Romans chapter 7. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul shared his struggle under the law to help the church believe it's better to be under grace. If you have tried to study, obey, and understand the Bible with your mind and failed, it's only because you chose to be under the law for the sake of some self-righteousness. Under grace, God uses your failures as stepping stones. If you learn from them spiritually, in Christ, you will have to respond to conviction. But there is nothing repentance cannot fix. In Christ, there is no condemnation, Romans 8, verse 1. So you'll get a knowledge of what works as well as what does not work in complicated situations. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. This is Romans chapter 11. I'm reading verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which failed severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou wilt continue in his goodness, otherwise you also shall be cut off. Do not be lazy, keep repenting, and his goodness will continue. The Jews were set apart by God through the law, but they did not embrace conviction and repent deeply. Anyone recognizing sin through reaping the consequences of sin can now enter the kingdom of heaven ahead of you, even if you are born again. No one will be saved from the coming wrath without the fruits meet for repentance. Matthew 3 and verse 8. We read in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. I'm reading Nehemiah 8, starting in verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto your Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Jews used by God to rebuild the temple walls with a sword in one hand had ears to hear. They wept over their own unfaithfulness after they heard the scriptures read out loud. Nehemiah 4 and verse 17. The Jews that felt weak were told to strengthen themselves in humble circumstances by rejoicing in the fact that they had returned to the land safely with ears to hear, while others perished. They were told to send portions to others who had recently returned from exile and had nothing prepared. The Bible read out directly has the power to convict through the Holy Spirit anyone who has ears to hear. However, do not let it stop there. By studying the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15, and repenting deeply. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Conviction coming by the Spirit is an invitation to the knowledge of God that you need to stop serving sin. Godly instructions or commands given out of a pure heart are needed everywhere to help those struggling in the church with anything that doesn't look like Christ. Jesus is coming soon. Do not apologize for bringing strong messages today. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm reading verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Verse 15, an account that the long sufferings of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also with other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know that these things before, be aware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. In his letters, Paul did not provide something intellectually stimulating without some conviction or correction. God gives understanding to those who immediately respond to conviction and repent. Those who use their minds to come to the truth wrestle instead. Jesus said to his disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 13. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Those who try to understand the things of God with their carnal minds are wicked, rebellious, and lazy. God is transmitting his perfect will for your life. You have the best teacher living inside of you. He is local, and he knows the heart and mind of God too. There is no excuse for saying you did not know situations would happen or that circumstances would change. He can warn you of what will happen next. So there is now no excuse for sin. Paul said this in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. This is Hebrews chapter 5. I'm reading verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. The church left behind in Jerusalem were not ready for strong meat. They could not understand how being left outside the walls of Jerusalem in humble circumstances could help them grow spiritually. Everyone needs something to help him or her learn spiritually if they are not asking God enough questions and using their reasoning instead. If you do not have ears to hear, ask the Lord why We read in Revelation chapter 2, verses 16. I'm reading to verse 17. This is Revelation chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." Verse 17. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receives it." In the book Wake Up Time Is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on pages 2 and 3, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "Everything I have taught over the years goes back to a few simple foundations that must be set in place and maintained throughout your spiritual journey. As these foundations settle and deepen, you will have no trouble becoming exactly who God has called you to be. His perfect plans will be fulfilled in your life. I suggest you write down these first works and refer to them often. Number one, love the Lord with all of your heart, soul and mind and strength. First love. Number two, maintain Jesus as the literal, functional Lord of your life every moment of every day. Number three, trust the Lord with all your heart. Number four, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. And number five, fear God and keep his commandments. The foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God should have been laid firmly in your own life at salvation. If you're always thinking about your personal circumstances and doing dead works, how will you have ears to hear what he wants you to do? It will be the sharp-edged sword of conviction you need first. The hidden manna is given to those who repent and overcome the sins that God is showing them personally by making no excuses for the flesh, step by step. You will also receive a white stone with a name that would describe you perfectly. Everyone receiving such a stone at the end will agree that they have become the person God wanted them to be by doing their first works consistently over a period of time. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 10, I'm reading to verse 13. This is the book of Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 10. "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man can take thy crown." Verse 12. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name." Verse 13, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." In the Living Bible, Revelation 3 and verse 10 says, "Because you have patiently obeyed me, despite the persecution, therefore I will protect you from the time of great tribulation and temptation which will come upon the world to test everyone alive." God is using this time to get his bride ready everywhere, so you will need patient endurance as this world passes away. Hold on to your crown of righteousness by confessing that God always makes a way in humble circumstances, and do not go after a more comfortable life. You may have to endure some persecution, but through giving the good confession, you will have a clear conscience with God. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. "Those who trust him with all their heart will be spared the great tribulation." If you're asking the Lord everything and Jesus still your first love at the end of your life, you'll become a pillar in the temple of God, wherever you are, and given a new name based on your consistent obedience. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Make no room for the devil in your life by yielding to anything in this world. Ephesians 4 and verse 27. You should be filled with the fullness of God. Ephesians 3 and 19. Asking and doing what God wants in complicated situations is the only thing that satisfies those that hunger for righteousness. Those who know how to study in the natural may quickly consume written homework, but those that study the word of truth come back for more. They do not assume that they are righteous just because they are born again or confess their sins. Before they get busy, the uncompromisingly righteous take time to go slowly and get his orders in the morning. With his orders, you will get God's anointing and authorization to do what he tells you to do. This is how Jesus lived. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Verse 14. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 13, As Your Foundations Deepen, on page 122, Joseph H. Scott writes, pressure is good for you. You may be tempted to take over lordship and depressurize a difficult situation. However, if you're determined to stand on what God says, his grace will give you the strength you need. Every believer's spiritual foundation can handle pressure to a certain point. If you can handle 1,000 units of pressure, he does not assign you 1,500 units of pressure. If you are stubborn and insist that you can handle more than he requires, he may allow you to fail as part of your training. You will leak, but he will show you how and why you leaked. As you learn from the situation, he will then open another door with the same amount of pressure. Because you have been strengthened and trained, you will be able to handle it. You can endure pressure with contentment when you trust God. He will not allow you to be tried beyond what you're able to endure, but will make a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Those who think they are ready for his appearing, but have not been through any pressure or temptation, are deceiving themselves. Do not be lazy. Follow Christ's example by growing in the grace and godly wisdom from denying yourself consistently and taking up your cross daily. Lay hold on eternal life with both hands, or you'll end up with idols and doing dead works instead. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, verses 10 and 11. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm reading verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The glory belongs to God because he has the plan. He will glorify his name when the plan comes together and share his eternal glory with those willing to do things his way. This might involve some suffering initially, but through serving the God of all grace, here are some amazing benefits. Number one, become complete or perfect under pressure. Number two, get a stronger foundation of hearing and obeying. Number three, become stronger spiritually, even if you're not talented. Number four, a foundation to finish what he started in you. God will give you answers and help you to do things correctly in complicated situations without any corruption. Go slowly. Ask more questions when your circumstances change. Grace only dries up when you take over the Lordship. Confess your sin and humble yourself if needed. With God, all things are possible. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6 and reading verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. If you've woken up spiritually through conviction and want to be ready for his appearing, make godliness and contentment your guide in this world. Do not be asking God about a new house or new things when you are still discontent about something you have now. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 9, I'm reading to verse 19. This is Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18. If it be possible, as such as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul wrote these instructions for everyone to follow when circumstances are changing. Go through this list and see if you are backsliding in any area as this world passes away. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, do you see conviction as a blessing? And if not, why not? Number two, who is responsible for the type of message you listen to? Number three, who is responsible for processing conviction and why? If you want to hear, get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hitchcock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hitchcock. Today I've been speaking to you about vain jangling. Do not put up with vain and empty messages based on one verse in the Bible that produce very little conviction in your life. You should always be getting strong meat yourself from the Lord by connecting yourself to teachers and preachers living on the narrow way. fix your excitement on eternal riches that come from obeying God under pressure consistently. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Do not let yourself become puffed up with vain ministry works or knowledge if you want to finish your race. In these last days, you will need to give the good confession that God makes a way where there seems no way. And lay hold on eternal life to be ready for his appearing. Put on the helmet of salvation, or you'll start thinking negatively and about something else in humble circumstances. Use the sword of the Spirit, which is the rightly revealed word of truth, not the written word, to get the answers you need. Ephesians 6 and 17. Father, I pray for those who've been listening to this message, that you've spoken many things into their lives. I pray that they would write them down. I pray that they would work them through, that you would show them in their hearts there's still enmity and still things that they have not resolved with you. And that, Father, through their repentance, they will be ready for your appearing. Father, I commit them into your hands. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you, and thank you for listening.